Shall we discuss this at breakfast?
Sure.
Great, then I will make zombie takeout, eggs, bacon, zombie takeout, waffles, and zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 144 of Zombie Takeout,
Zombie Takeout,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of listener submitted. This is from Osm Talks on our on our site in reference to last week's episode. He said, "Hey, great show, guys." Thank you, Mr. Talks.
Thanks.
Oh, he also went on to say, "I just wanted to see if this field works." That's odd.
Yeah.
And some news. Incidentally, both of these from Cinema Blend. First story, Quentin Tarantino finally gives up on Kill Bill 3. Quentin Tarantino is notorious, more than just about any other director, for talking constantly about projects he's never going to make. He's holding out hope for a spin-off about the Vega brothers. He's got 40 pages of an Inglourious Bastards prequel that he may make someday. And he's been talking for years about making a third installment of Kill Bill. And his actors have been backing him up on the plan. At least until Inglourious Basterds came out, and quieted things down for a little while. Now with Django Unchained coming out, yes, another original story that he didn't talk up for years, Tarantino is doing some Q&As, and we got this covered, caught up to ask him all about those promises about Kill Bill, Volume 3. His answer was short and potentially disappointing. I don't know if there's ever going to be a Kill Bill Volume 3. We'll see. Probably not, though. Okay, thing is, where is there room for a third one? She killed Bill. That's the end of the story. Presumably retired to raise her daughter. End of story.
There's a lot of room for interpretation of that.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, you could really get silly with it and you know, maybe the daughter grows up to be a killer, or Beatrix doesn't retire. But the story ended.
Yeah.
It was about Beatrix hunting down Bill to get revenge. She did
someday,
it. End of story.
Someday they will learn out there in Hollywood that not everything requires a sequel or to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
Sometimes the story just has a beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those are the best stories.
Yeah. All right, next story. Spider-Man producer planning series of superhero stories based on Chinese mythology.
Tell me it takes place at a Walmart.
Ah.
No? Okay.
Variety reports that Avi Arad, producer of pretty much all of the Marvel movies, will forge partnerships with Bruno Wu's Seven Stars Entertainment to develop multiple properties with ties to Chinese lore. They will put multiple fingers in various pies, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Spanning live-action, tentpole pictures, animated television shows, and more. They hope to trigger merchandising opportunities, mobile applications, and other interactive avenues to expand the reach and audience in China and around the globe. The trade says that Rise of the Terracotta Warriors will be the first project in the pipeline. It will be based on an original story by Arad that centers on China's Terracotta Army, which, according to myth, protected China's first emperor in the afterlife after he had died. He said, "Bruno and I share an affinity for Chinese history and culture, and this knowledge will help guide me through the fascinating world of Chinese mythology." Okay, first off with the Terracotta Warriors, Sucker Punch kind of did that.
Yeah, true.
Second of all, these may sell in China, but these are not going to sell anywhere else.
How is that any different from a mummy, you know?
Yeah, true.
Same principle almost. Well, I guess the mummy.
Well, Terracotta Warriors, they were actual Terracotta Warriors that were ensouled and guarded the emperor. But this lore is not known internationally.
Right.
So people aren't going to get these stories.
But people are desperate for something different and new because the same stories have been recycled
True.
Like the mummy. over and over again. I guess the thing you'd say that the mummy is the emperor instead of the guard.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just don't see these doing well outside of China. I think it's a personal interest that he's trying to turn into a marketing opportunity that
yeah.
is going to work.
It depends on how it looks really in the
end. Yeah. And he produced all the Marvel movies. Those have mostly been great. So they'll probably be very well made. I just don't know if people will get them. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is Return of the Killer Tomatoes from 1988. Which, of course, brings us to the impromptu plot summary.
What's it brought to us by this week?
Sponsored by Big-Breasted Women Go to the Beach and Take Their Tops Off. You'll like it better.
Also sponsored by the word the.
And Finletters for all your pizza needs.
Also sponsored by Amalgamated Cellular Phone Service. Amalgamated, we're number one.
Also by Product Placement. If your movie is running out of money, then try Product Placement. Because generic just won't cut it. Trust George Clooney.
Also sponsored by Full Contact America's Cup. If only.
And finally, by Toxic Waste. You're soaking in it.
All right. We begin this movie with the kid working in his uncle's pizza shop. His uncle kind of goes on and on about the war he fought in. And, of course, that war is the war against tomatoes that happened about a generation earlier or
and
10
that
years
talked
in this
about
case.
Several episodes ago. I forgot to check the number.
Oh yeah, that we'll get to that. Anyway, so he kind of, blathers on to anybody that willing or unwilling to hear about his old war stories. It's a world where tomatoes have been banned. They have interesting pizza combinations instead
interesting
of,
is one way of putting it.
Yeah. And so anyway, his nephew delivering pizzas off to this mysterious house where there's a beautiful woman that just answers the door and doesn't seem to quite be all there, but he's quite enamored with her. And she turns out to be the lab assistant of the mad scientist who was behind the entire tomato
uprising.
War? Uprising? Rebellion? I don't know.
I think they refer to it as the tomato uprising in the movie.
The tomato uprising. All right. So he is turning tomatoes into people, or tomato people, and he winds up coming up with a mutant. It's this tomato that's a little furry tomato who sort of takes the role of R2-D2 in this.
Pretty much.
And but he's going to throw out this mutant, and the woman, the tomato woman, is very upset about this, so she leaves his services and runs away and finds the young nephew and decides that she's going to live with him. And let's see. We have the nephew's roommate, who is sort of playing the part of Larry from Three's Company. he's getting him in trouble. And wow, the plot to this is really quite dull when you lay it all out, isn't it? They find out that she's a tomato person. Through some series of misadventures, him freaking out when discovering that she's a plant, eating plant food, they have some arguments about tomatoes. They wind up getting captured by the mad scientists, they escape and
get rescued heroes from the previous movie.
Right, and then they go to foil the mad scientist's plan to take over the world, so you can safely say hilarity ensues.
Now this one started with a bit that reminded me very much of Kentucky Fried Movie and
Amity. Oh yeah.
It starts with the $1 movie and the whole gag is that the movie that we're watching is actually being played on some late night TV station.
Yeah.
In fact, someone in the middle calls them and complains that it's just a bunch of clips from the first movie, which was brilliant. Because it really does use a lot of clips from the first movie.
Yes. Yeah, here's the funny thing. Today, and normally I listen to the episode we at work, I normally listen to the episode we did before this. Well, instead, I took a little way back machine here to episode, get ready for this, episode 23,
Wow.
November 5th of 2009.
Eek.
Yeah, we were only into this about 6 months, and we said back then that, wow, what took us so long to do this? The first thing I was surprised about was the low rating I gave it, because I was thinking, like, wow, I probably, would have been up there. But then, as I listened to our review of it, the first one, it refreshed my memory what I found wrong with it. And the problem was it had like an awesome beginning, like the first 20 minutes to half an hour of great jokes. And then the rest of the movie, like another hour of it, was just those same jokes
Over and over again.
repeated again. So watching this one, when they showed the clips, I'm like, oh wow, the first one's a lot funnier than I remember it being. But realizing they pretty much took the best parts, the best 20 to 30 minutes of it, and put it in here.
Now, the thing is, I saw this before I saw the first one.
Yeah.
I saw this, I think I had to be on like Up All Night or something, so I
Of
saw it
course.
like early 90s. When they showed those clips of the original, I didn't think it was real. It looked so low budget. I just thought they'd filmed some second unit had filmed it and they'd put it in the movie. I didn't think that could have actually be the original movie.
Pretty funny. And by the way, this movie that we're doing, the second one, is on Hulu.
In YouTube. But if it's on Hulu, I'll link to that. That's a better option.
Yeah,
That's
it's
legal.
right. And it's in one showing. You just have to sit through some commercials.
So is the one on YouTube.
Product placement.
Anyway. That was probably, just to jump ahead, that
Yeah.
has got to be the best part of the movie.
Oh, without a doubt. That is the movie just at its it's because not only do they do the product placement, they have this insane out of nowhere fight scene.
Yeah, just to explain, in the middle of a scene, the director stops them and says they've run out of money.
Right.
You see, Clooney, George Clooney's in the movie. I don't know if we mentioned that.
No, we have not.
A very young George Clooney is in this movie.
This is between Facts of Life and Roseanne. Think about that.
As the director is explaining they've run out of money, he's sitting there with an unlit cigarette, which I loved.
Yeah.
Stands up and suggests product placement as a way to make money.
Well,
So the
Clooney
next.
suggests it. Clooney suggests it.
Yes.
It's the 1980s.
So the next 10 minutes of the movie, they cram as many ads as they can, and actual ads, Pepsi.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if the Toyota of San Diego is a real
Honda.
place, Honda of San Diego, if that's a real place. But there's a few others. Pepsi's the one that sticks in my mind because they did it twice. Was it
I
an
love
O. Henry bar?
the Pepsi sign in front of the mad
Yeah.
scientist's house.
Right as they're doing all of this in the pizzeria, a bunch of cowboys and ninjas walk in and
Yes.
fight for no apparent reason. They didn't turn it into a joke of any sort other than a random fight in the middle of the movie.
It was fucking brilliant because they're already in the middle of this great bit that's just, insane in itself, but it says so much too. It's so true. And then in the middle of that, to one up it even more, a fight between cowboys and ninjas. And like we said, it takes place in the 1980s. This isn't a period piece.
And that's the genius of this. You're right, the story is really nothing.
Right.
It's kind of random misadventures, but the jokes are brilliant.
And there's more of them this time.
Full contact America's Cup. We mentioned it in the
Yes.
sponsor. America's Cup with cannons. Genius. And the pizza toppings, which were disgusting, but hilarious. cheese and anchovy with strawberry jam.
Yeah.
A lot of, jam and jelly in place of
Tomato,
sauce.
yeah.
Tomato sauce, yeah.
But yeah, my notes I have the product placement fight scene from nowhere is worth the price of admission alone.
And the whole product placement bit in general. That's really the thing I remembered from this.
Yeah.
Of all of, 20 years later. That and one of the best lines in movie history, in my opinion. The woman of my dreams is a vegetable. Some reason that line kills me. Oh, and also another, speaking of lines that kill me, when Tara, that's the girl's name, the tomato woman,
Yeah.
when she leaves Dr. Gangrene, that was his name, or Professor Gangrene,
He's
Esten's
feeling
character.
much better now, though.
Yes, of course. She goes to the pizzeria and basically offers to sleep with the nephew of the hero from the last movie.
Right.
Offers basically to cook and clean and sleep with him. And the line, "How about a blowjob, maybe iron your pants," killed me. Because it's completely out of nowhere. Just, it's that up front and out of nowhere. I loved it.
Yeah.
Incidentally, did the actor who played Igor look like Peter Hinwood to you?
Oh.
Rocky from Rocky Horror.
You know, now that you mention it. Yeah.
Just wanted to get that, just get a second opinion on that. Also, I think this is probably Clooney's best work.
I don't know about that.
Well, see, I've always preferred him in comedy. I've never really been a fan of his dramatic work. And he is completely chewing the scenery in this one.
Yeah.
This is a brilliant comedic performance from him.
I mean, they're all chewing scenery. They're all, that's kind of the point of it, though.
But John Astin aside, possibly Clooney is the best in the movie.
I will still defend Clooney. I think he's done some good work. Preferably, O Brother, Where Art Thou, of course.
But again, comedic performance.
Yeah.
Okay, that is probably better than this, yeah.
I didn't think he wasn't really that bad a Batman. I know there's been a lot of Batman debating going on recently about Burton versus Nolan and stuff,
Been way
but
too long since I've seen his, and I try not to remember it.
well, that's the thing.
The
He
movie
was a
was horrible, but the
right.
performance may have been good, yeah.
He was a good Batman in a really terrible Batman movie. Make no mistake about that. They could have cast Jesus Christ, and that movie still would have fucking blown. There's not much you could do with the nipples and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Incidentally, what finally saw Dark Knight Rises, minor tangent. Anne
Oh.
Hathaway was the best part, I'll just say that. She was really good as Catwoman. The rest of it, meh. But I haven't been a fan of Nolan's Batman movies, really, so. Anyway. Another great performance was, at least for the beginning, back to Return of Killer Tomatoes.
Back to the return.
Karen Mistal, who played the Tomato Woman. In the beginning, when she was doing sort of the blank robotic thing, was great. When that wore off and she just had to act, she was okay, but not great. But that beginning was great.
But that was the thing. No one in this is really expected to act.
Right. Yeah.
If
So.
you put a good performance in this movie, that would have been weird.
Yeah, true. Like I said, Clooney was probably the best and possible exception of Astin.
Right. Well, Astin was just out. I
Well, he was
mean,
just chewing scenery straight
yeah,
up,
just
plain and simple.
ranting.
Yeah.
Although my favorite part of his was, "Do you think this is some sort of game?" With this giant scoreboard behind him.
Yeah. This is basically equal parts Zucker, Abrams, and Troma.
Yeah.
It's Zucker Abrams' sensibilities with the movie and the scoreboard, the movie at the beginning, the fact that, the $1 movie thing, and the scoreboard, and a lot of those gags are very Zucker's, and the sensibilities are very Troma, and the budget is very Troma. I mean, it was a much higher budget than the first one, but still very low budget.
But all of the new jokes I thought really worked in
Oh
this.
yeah. This is much funnier.
Like where they're making fun of, moving the plot along, and how would he, why would he go back to the professor's laboratory? So he's watching this movie about Frankenstein, and the doctor's,
Yes.
"You would go to the laboratory." Where he's kind of like, "Huh, I don't get it." And then, the person on TV is pretty much,
Yelling at him, go to the laboratory.
right. Because so many movies, the plot moves along, and you're just kind of like, well, why would they do that? There's no reason for that at all. And here they have the TV spelling it out for him. And so many things. The dollar movie thing, using that as a plot device in the end, of which of course you knew was gonna happen some way or another.
And well, we'll get to the end, but because
Yes.
I've got a couple other notes about it. But
Right.
there were a couple of other things that were, I don't know if they were intentional or not. They seemed like flubs that were left in. At one point, Clooney and the nephew, I can't remember, I don't know the actor's name, I can't remember the character's name. We're talking. It was right after FT, the fuzzy tomato, fell out the window.
Chad Finletter.
Chad Finletter. Chad and Clooney's character were talking, and he said, "If I were you, and I don't, you don't know what he'd say, because he what he ends up saying is I'd be laughing, and he actually starts to laugh. It was right after Chad started to find evidence that Tara was a tomato, and it looks like he just like cracked." On the line, cracked when he was delivering the line, and they left it in.
Huh.
Like they just got an attack of the giggles, and they left it in the movie for some reason. Another point: a woman said that the movie was only 25 minutes old. A random extra
Yeah.
had like one line. It was actually 40 minutes in.
Was it?
Yeah, I checked just to see if it was actually 25 minutes in. It was actually 40. I
Because
don't.
I thought there was an hour left to the movie and it was an hour and a half. Was it an hour 40?
It's roughly an hour 40, yeah. It's a little over an hour and a half.
Ah, okay.
But it seemed odd that, they would say the wrong amount of time into the movie.
Yeah.
It had to be an intentional mistake.
Interesting fact about the person who played Chad Finletter, Anthony Stark. He also had a short stint on ER.
Oh, really?
It might be after Clooney left, though. But it would have been great if he had played a roommate or something.
If he had been on there with Clooney,
Yes.
because this is one of those cases, and we haven't actually talked about this in a while, but in the earlier episodes, you'd always go on about how there has to be some big star in one of these movies, someone who had gone on to become a big star anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, Clooney in this case, he has never really talked about this,
No.
and Clooney would think would be somebody who would be willing to admit it, would just own up to it.
You would think so, yeah.
But he owns up to facts of life. He
Yeah.
doesn't own up to this one, and I mean, if you're gonna own up to one of the two, this is the one to own up to.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't realize or had forgotten, the original ER, the sitcom ER. I didn't realize how long ago that was. Like I had thought that was, more of a, mid to late 80s sort of thing, but it was actually like 83, 84. But
Wow.
not many people actually remember the original
Vaguely.
ER. Yes.
Yeah, I think we're about to the end of it then. Yeah. Because there's a great bit at the end.
Well, they did do it right. Everything that they'd set up in the first reel, they paid off with in the last.
Oh, one other great bit, self-aware bit that I just happened to catch here. At one
Was a
point.
lot of self-aware bits that were
But
great in
one that
this.
killed me.
Well,
There's a teddy bear in Gangrene's lab
yeah.
that he's beat. Was it in the lab or in his room? No, it was in his room
No.
that he starts attacking because it won't shut up.
Right.
And then it eventually starts saying, "Help, call the ASPCA, murder." The
I
bear
thought it
becomes
even said
aware.
rape at one point, didn't
I think it did, yeah.
it? He sat on it.
But yeah, they escape and it gets, the big happy ending. And then we get the reprise of, it's actually a movie, the $1 movie bit.
Right.
And then I think it was Chad said, we didn't leave anything out.
Yeah, everything that we set up for the first reel, we resolve in the last.
Not everything. I think Clooney said not everything. And then early on, there's a pizza that he's tossing. He throws it up in the air, turns, does a bunch of other things. It never comes down.
Right.
I noticed it at the time, but I didn't really think about it. I figured it was just a continuity error. That pizza comes down on his head,
Right.
which I hadn't forgotten about, but I'd written off. So that was the last thing I expected to see happen.
You got to give him points for that.
Oh yeah. Well, points for everything in this movie. I've loved this one for 20 years.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes. On to sequels and remakes.
Yeah.
This, of course, is the sequel to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes,
Right.
followed by Killer Tomatoes Strike Back in 1990 and Killer Tomatoes Eat France in 91. I've looked at some clips. Strike Back look actually kind of good.
Really, because you know what, this would be the perfect to just end it.
Yeah.
But
Strike
as
Back.
they say in the best self-aware joke of the movie, really, the theme song in the beginning, that this is the end of the story, but if it does well, there'll be a third one.
Strike Back looks pretty good. Killer Tomatoes Eat France looks horrible. Skippy from Family Ties is in it.
That's perfect, actually, isn't
Yeah, I guess. But
it?
it's the classic example of they went to the well one too many times.
Whatever happened to Gary P. anyway, I wonder. Never mind. That's an inside joke.
Okay. The film was adapted in 90 as Attack of the Killer Tomatoes TV series, a cartoon TV series which ran on Fox Kids, but despite the name, it was based on Return of the Killer Tomatoes. One scene did include a live-action footage of the Killer Tomatoes film, followed by a comment saying it is the worst torture a prisoner could endure. So they made fun of the original movie in the cartoon. Incidentally, I went looking for see if they still sell plush FTs, the fuzzy tomato. They don't.
Yeah.
I found one on eBay sale that was over, because I kind of want one now.
You know, my favorite part of listening to episode 23 was I'm trying to figure out how the tomatoes attack. I'm sitting here just shaking my head at work at myself, like the logistics
Of a
of a
tomato actually
tomato
attacking
being
us.
able to attack or kill somebody. They don't have teeth, quote unquote.
Wow. Speaking of the first movie, a
Yes.
remake of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is in development for a possible 2012 release. Probably not 2012 now.
You're right.
Kent Nichols and Douglas Sirin, creators of Esca Ninja, are developing the project.
You said that actually. You read this back in the original episode
I
3 years
did?
ago.
Oh,
Yes.
okay. That's what I get for not listening to it. Now,
Pretty funny.
the
But
song
yeah.
Puberty Love in the original, it has to be Friday by Rebecca Black now.
Oh, I was just thinking they get Matt Cameron back
Oh, okay.
and sing it.
Nice. And of course, Clooney has to have a walk-on
Yeah.
at some point.
And Skippy from Family Ties.
Probably, yeah, you want to go there too.
Or Gary P.
All right, so on to Brains.
On the brains.
I love this movie. I have loved it, like I said, for 20 years. It is pretty much perfect. I gotta go five.
I'm pretty close with you. It's definitely twice as better as the first one. I think the only thing that I would have done without is less of the gags from the first movie. And
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the replaying.
Oh.
It got weak when the heroes of the first movie came in.
Oh, okay. See, I like that just as a nod to the original and the fact that it was all the original guys.
And again, the parachute
Yeah,
thing.
the parachute gag to get old.
Yeah. But it's good for a minute or two, and then when you keep going with it's just kind of like, yeah, we get it. He's running with the parachute on his back. We see. So I'm going four.
All right, so what have we learned?
We learned people need to respect the white pie.
And I learned to never put bananas and raisinettes on the same pizza.
I don't understand what the problem with that would be.
It sounds like a good combination to me.
It does. Seriously, have these guys never heard of the white
I
pie?
was thinking that, and then I realized that wouldn't be funny.
No, it wouldn't.
All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing, well, next week will be a special episode.
Oh, yeah.
Want to leave it to be a bit of a surprise. Incidentally, due to some scheduling issues, it'll be a day late, so the episode will be out on Friday, December 21st, 2012.
Friday, December 21st, 2012.
Yes, Friday, December 21st, 2012, if nothing else happens that day.
Friday, December 21st, 2012.
And if you haven't figured it out by now, I don't know what to tell you.
Think I'll have some Mexican Mayan food that night.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, the movie list where you can find everything we've done so far, everything we're going to be doing, the request form where you can request a movie you'd like to hear us review, and of course the recommendations list. Every movie we've given four brains or better, this one's going on there.
Yep, as it should.
You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Till next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Do we have enough money to finish this turkey yet?
Yeah, sure. Give him hell, guys.
Thank you.
We got this covered. Caught up to ask him all about promises.
Caught we up got to... this covered seems to not be able to write very clear sentences.
That's it's me.
Oh.
All right. I'm dead tired tonight. That's why I'm completely losing my shit.